Morning.
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 Before I get started, something I just want to preface this entire sermon with, that, you may or may not understand what, after I preach the sermon, why I preface it with this, but it just came to me before, just now. We live in an age of grievance. My friend Josh and I talk a lot about how in our society, pretty much every single one of us think we are oppressed. Every single one of us think we're persecuted. Every single one of us thinks we're not quite getting what we deserve. It's a cultural moment we're living in where everybody's feeling like we're put upon. And so I want to preface this whole sermon with that, because it's I'm realizing it's possible to read this sermon as, oh, poor us, or aren't we put upon? And that's not what I'm saying. So I just want to sort of start us there, that in an atmosphere of resentment and grievance, that's not what I'm preaching here. And with that, I've been wondering lately whether I'm a heathen. In fact, I've been wondering whether all of us here at Berkeley Friends Church are heathens. The word heathen, I've been wondering about this, comes from an old Germanic word that some of you may have heard, I had not, called heath. Heath is more of a British word. It's a type of landscape in Britain, in Northern Europe. It's like sort of slightly boggy grasslands. But it's basically the uninhabited countryside where no one's doing anything. And so the word heathen originally meant someone from the country. Basically means hillbilly. Okay? So why would the countryside and people living in the country be associated with paganism? Well, Christianity arose as an urban movement, mostly in the major cities of the ancient world. So it was primarily urban in outlook. And as time went on, and Christianity gained the upper hand in the Roman Empire, the old pagan faith of the ancient world became associated with poorer, less educated, more rural people in the countryside. So in a city like Antioch or Alexandria, you know, New York or LA, one would expect to find Christians in charge. But in the hinterland, you know, Bakersfield, traditional pagan religions would still be prominent. In medieval Europe, you see sort of the same thing. The religion of the peasants in the countryside is always suspect. Heathenism lurked behind every rock and tree. And we have a similar city-country divide in the United States today. The educated, wealthy, high-status people live mostly in the big cities, like our San Francisco Bay Area. And for some time now, the more educated, wealthier, higher status people have been abandoning traditional Christianity in exchange for a pluralistic post-Christian faith. And for many of the best and brightest in the urban cores, the truth claims of Christianity have come to seem backwards, unsophisticated, even ridiculous. These are things that the poor and the uneducated and the foolish believe. These are not ideas for sophisticated, well-read, educated people. Christianity has become the religion of heathens. And this puts us as Orthodox Quakers in an interesting position, because we're not like the early church, which was coming more or less out of nowhere. The first Christians were received generally as a new religious movement or a cult by people in the ancient world. But cults, when successful, grow into established religions. And the Christian church was very successful indeed. And so 2,000 years after the resurrection, we are not a new thing. We are an old thing. We are much more like the practitioners of the Greco-Roman pagan faiths in the late Roman Empire. Our faith is rooted in the past. And we find ourselves challenged by a new orthodoxy that's ascendant in our great cities and among our most respected citizens. We find that we have become heathens, weak, foolish, and ridiculous. And this is maybe especially challenging for us who are heathens living in the urban centers. We dwell among the wise and respectable of the world. We, who perhaps like to think of ourselves as reasonable, literate people. For people like us, it's tough to be a part of a backward faith like Christianity, as post-Christian values, both liberal and conservative, are coming to dominate our culture. Our civilization's new post-Christian, some might say post-human, faith is growing, while our community shrinks. They are the new, we are the old. They are the wise, we are the fools. They are the strong, we are the weak. They are the plausible, we are the ridiculous. So what does it mean for us to be the old among the new? What does it mean for us to be heathen, ridiculous, theological hillbillies in the city of the wise? What does it look like to preach the gospel in a form where our faith, far from being a curiosity worthy of exploration, is assumed to be known already and dismissed? This is a big difference between us and the early church. Many people who oppose our faith are very well acquainted with it. How do we share the good news of the resurrection in the face of a general lack of interest? It gives me hope that when Paul preached Jesus among the Athenians, he too was dismissed. Most of the wise men of Athens who heard Paul thought he was a fool, an outsider, a weirdo, a preacher of Eastern divinities. And yet there were some who were convinced. It says that when, and this is a little bit after our reading today, when the people gathered and listened to Paul, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed. But others said, "We will hear you again about this." Eventually, some of these hearers became believers, and some became important leaders in the Christian community. Acts names a couple of them, who presumably were well known. Though Paul was mocked and accounted as a nobody, there were those who heard and believed and chose to follow Jesus. Paul was an irrelevant bumpkin, a heathen, to the wise men of the Areopagus. But for those who had ears to hear his message, the gospel became the power of God in their lives. The example of the Apostle Peter from our second reading today is still relevant to us, positioned as we are in the city of the wise, armed with the foolishness of Christ. He writes to us saying, "We must not fear what the wise people fear, that is, to look like fools. We must not be intimidated. We must be willing to suffer, even as Christ suffered, so that Christ's ministry may be made complete in our lives." And when we think of Christ's suffering, it's easy to fixate on the physical, the torture, the nails and the hands and the feet, the thirsty death on the cross. But Christ's great atoning sacrifice was not merely physical. It was also psychological and spiritual. Jesus was humbled completely, stripped down completely, broken so completely that he cried out to God and found only silence. It's good to remember this when we are tempted to be intimidated by the judgment of others, when we worry about what our friends or our family or our coworkers might think about our Christian faith. What is that compared to the humiliation that Jesus experienced? Can we bear a little bit of embarrassment for Christ, who bore all things for us? Peter lays out the posture that we're to have when we're sharing our faith with others. He encourages us to let go of our fear. He also reminds us to let go of our ego. Because some of us are too anxious in sharing the gospel and shy away from it. But some of us can be too arrogant. So Peter gives us a two-part command as we share our faith. First, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. And second, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So we're to be ready. We're not to be intimidated. We're to hold fast to the hope that's in us. But also, we are to approach all people and all situations with gentleness and respect. Given that we've now all become heathens, this is perhaps more important than ever. We are not in a position to dictate anything to anyone. We are not the wise and mighty of this age. We are not the authorities and the professors. We are fools, and we should expect to be regarded as such. Nevertheless, as Paul says to the Corinthians, woe to us if we do not preach the gospel. Woe to us if we hide our faith and refuse to speak and live the truth. We must be ready, but always with gentleness and respect. Like our Lord Jesus, we came not to serve, to be served, but to serve. It's a challenge, because I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a heathen. I want to be considered a serious person, worthy of respect. I suspect you feel the same. But it may be time for us to consider that perhaps this is no longer an option for us. Maybe we are heathens, because our faith is heathen. Maybe we do come from the margins, because our Lord is from the margins. What does it feel like to stand with him among the fools, confessing the old faith among the shiny and the new? Despite all the differences between our time and his, I wonder what it looked like for us to adopt the posture of the Apostle Paul, who, though he was ridiculed by many, also met people who were ready to hear the message. Even among the wise, there were those who had the courage to become fools. What does it look like for us to stand firm in our faith, always ready to make a defense to anyone who demands an accounting of the hope that is in us, yet always with gentleness and respect?